So this morning, we are going to step into another interesting topic about stepping into the conflict zone and how do we deal with godly, what's a godly way to deal with conflict? And it's, I want to start off by saying, whenever we step into this place, I trust that the truths in God's word is there to liberate our hearts and to convict us. There's never any condemnation in the Lord Jesus. So I want to say to you this morning, what I want to share is not to condemn or to burden your heart. If the Holy Spirit convicts and puts his finger on something, then listen to what he says. Because where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom, and maybe he wants to bring some measure of freedom in your heart. The enemy wants to condemn us, and he's there constantly before the throne of God, accusing us before the Lord. But he, the Holy Spirit, is there to set us free and to set the hearts of the captives free. So does that make sense? Are you guys all right this morning? Can we step into this? It's too late. You don't have a choice. For what it's worth. Ruth, why are you laughing? All right, so it's just so that I can see my time. For my sake, not for yours. let's just pray. So, Father, we thank you that trust that the Holy Spirit wants to come liberate our hearts this morning, and I pray that we will be sensitive to what you want to do in our hearts. I pray that our ears will be open to hear what the Spirit of God says, and that we won't close our ears and shut our hearts, Father, but that if there's areas in his heart, in our heart, that you need to come and explore and expose to us to bring freedom, Holy Spirit, I pray that you come do that now. In the name of Jesus, amen. So about 2 weeks ago, we spoke about taming of the tongue and just giving some guidelines maybe on how we use our tongue in a godly way and just cautioning us as to what are some of the pitfalls that we may step into when we speak. We quickly spoke on some of the dangers of how we use our tongue and then what our tongue is meant for. So closely related to that is often when we come to an area of conflict. And we have to understand the heart of God when we start this topic, first of all. So when I say conflict, I'm meaning I've got an issue with Eugene. How do I solve that? Not I'm experiencing conflict in my heart because the Word of God says something and I have to align my life. This hopefully will be as practical as maybe giving you some guidelines on how to deal with that practically, but we have to understand the heart of God first. And God's heart is always, so from creation, from the fall of man, his heart has been to restore relationship. We saw that when he came down, when he sent Jesus to the cross that died for us, and his heart was always for the people and for us. He constantly wants to restore us back into a place of relationship. It's never to disqualify us. Our sin doesn't disqualify us before the Father, but he longs to restore us into a place of relationship because sin and often conflict breaks down relationship. And God's heart is always to restore. So whenever we're experiencing conflict, we need to realize his heart. So that maybe, if we understand the heart of God, if we understand the why, then the how becomes easier. If we understand why we need, why it's important to resolve conflict, then the how can sometimes be easier. And the why is because that's God's heart. Conflict always breaks down relationship. Always. Breaks down unity and breaks down relationship if it's unresolved. There can be healthy conflict if you resolve it, but the heart of God is to restore. It's never to disqualify. Does that make sense? So I said, yeah. When we experience any form of conflict, we have to remind our fleshly nature about the nature and character of Jesus and what he did for us on the cross. So we are called to reflect God to a broken world around us and to reflect the nature and character of Jesus. If I said to you before I started saying we have to resolve conflict, who wants to become more like Jesus? How many of you would raise your hands? Everyone. I think all of us have that desire in us that we want to become more like Jesus. So if we understand the nature and character of Jesus, we understand that he even modeled a way for us, that he restored, even when he was persecuted, his heart said, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. His heart was never to disqualify and to eliminate people. His heart was always to bring us back into relationship. And I said, above all, Christians means, who knows what Christian means? Sorry? Little Christ. So I want to say, if you want to call yourself a Christian, you're saying that you're a little Christ. That's if you say, I'm a Christian. So be wise with how you use that word. Be wise with how you say, I'm a Christian. Because if you're saying I'm a Christian, you're saying that you're a little Christ. And Christianity, above all, is a religion of relationship. It's not a religion of rules and laws and jump through the hoops. Because God is a relational God. We are called primarily for relationship with one another. And if that is the heart of God, relationship, it's inevitable that at some point in time, we are going to experience conflict. Are any of you experiencing conflict right now? Not with me, hopefully. but are you experiencing some measure of conflict in your life? Some unresolved relationships? So let's quickly look at part of what Paul was saying in Philippians 4. He said, yeah, I want to plead with those two women, Euodia and Syntyche. Please, because you belong to the Lord, settle your disagreement. And I ask you, my true teammate, to help these women, for they have worked hard with me in telling others the good news. And they worked with Clement and the rest of my co-workers, whose names are written in the book of life. So Paul penned this letter to the Philippians. He was 1,500 k's away from Philippi when he wrote this letter. And there was a disagreement with two women in the church. And he said, I plead with you, please, ladies, settle your disagreement. He's like, it's bringing harm to the church. You're misrepresenting Christ. You're misrepresenting Jesus. He said, I plead with you. And another translation says, I implore you, settle your disagreement. So Paul, for some reason, in a book of Philippians that's only 4 chapters long, he finds it important enough to include in his letter to say, settle your disagreements. So, said, not only is this the heart of God, but also a command that he's given us. If you look at 1 John 4, verse 21, says, and God himself has commanded that we must love not only him, but our Christian brothers and sisters too. So he says, you can't say you're a Christian if you say, I love God only. Then he says, we're called Christians if we love our brothers and sisters too. Then it's interesting, 1 John 4, if you go to the next portion, says 19 to 21. We love each other as a result of his loving us first. Who's heard that? We love because he first loved us. It's beautiful. It's beautiful scripture. And we love saying that. He says, and if somebody says, I love God, but hates a Christian brother or sister, that person is a liar. For if we don't love people we can see, how can we love God whom we have not seen? And then verse 21 says, and God himself has commanded us that we must love not only him, but our Christian brothers and sisters too. Just go back to the previous one. So, do any of you hate anyone? Huh? It is a trick question. None of you are going to say, oh, I hate that person. Because it sounds harsh, eh? Do you know what that Greek word, meseo, that's what the Greek word there says for hate. Do you know what that means? It means to esteem less. I said, yeah, to love less. That's what that word hate means. So when we read it, it says, if anyone hates his brother, we think, oh no, I don't hate anyone, I'm fine. But that word hate means to esteem less, to love less. So that means, if you're in any position where you think slightly less of a Christian brother and sister, the word says you hate them. Then he said, you can't say that you love God, but you love you hate your brother and sister. You esteem slightly less. The word of God is odd. It's nice. Do you want to carry on with the conversation? Or do you want me to pause there? Maybe meditate on that for a while. So we were in Zim, and we experienced a really difficult conflict in the church, and we had to ask some people to step out of the life of the church. And yeah, if you ask me now,
we would have done it differently. And I am going to Zimbabwe on the 1st of October to repair some of the relationships that were broken down. But we were in a situation, and I called one of my friends, and he came up, and Mervis sat with us, and he listened to our story, and he listened, and he's like, yes, Donnie, are they Christian? I said, yes. He said, and you Christian? I said, yes. And he said, you guys are both misrepresenting the bride to the world around you. How can you say you're Christian, but there's enmity between you? There's hatred. We didn't just love less. There was a severe conflict. There was a really, really hard situation that we are going through. And gossip and slander and all that started going around in the church and in the community. Where we lived was a small community. And it translated into the life of many people's hearts. And it brought division in the church. And the first thing that Mervis said to us wasn't like, yes, Donnie, I'm so sorry. That's terrible news. He said to us, you're misrepresenting the bride of Christ. Go make right with your brothers and sisters. Go ask for forgiveness. And I don't know if you've been in a conversation where somebody has sat across you and they're just out of reach for you to smack them or something, because we don't want to hear that. It goes against our fleshly nature. It goes against it. We don't like hearing that stuff. So Philippians 2, verse 1 to 5, he says, is there any encouragement from belonging to Christ, any comfort from his love, any fellowship together in the Spirit? Are your hearts tender and sympathetic? Then make me truly happy by agreeing wholeheartedly with each other, loving one another and working together with one heart and purpose. Don't be selfish. Don't live to make a good impression on others. Be humble. That's a key word. Thinking of others as better than yourself. Don't think only about your own affairs, but the interests of others too and what they are doing. Your attitude should be the same that Jesus Christ had. Don't be selfish. Don't live to make an impression on others, but be humble. It's such a key thing in us. Our flesh is always at war with the Spirit of God and with relationship with God, because by nature, we are selfish people. We are rooted, our lives are so often rooted in pride. And it's much easier for us to say, no, but they did this. And we can't carry on living like that. Jesus wasn't an accuser. No matter how much he was wrong, Jesus always restored relationship. So just for a moment, I want us just to close our hearts. I keep saying close your hearts. Close your eyes. Open your hearts. And just ask the Holy Spirit, you know, when I said, like, does anyone hate his brother? But I want you to maybe just ask the Holy Spirit for a moment. Just with all the eyes closed and just between you and God, just ask the Holy Spirit, Holy Spirit. And you may know exactly when I said we're talking about conflict, someone's face might have popped up in your mind already. Some situation might have popped up in your heart already. Your heart is already scratching a little bit just by thinking about that. Just want to ask the Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit, this morning, I want to pray that you come and reveal those hidden places in our hearts. I'm just going to read two scriptures. We have to realize that as we're talking about conflict, we may be opening up a little bit of a Pandora's box. And there's a whole bunch of emotion that might come out because of bad situations that you've had to go through, because of situations that you've had to endure. But we have to step into those conflict zones and ask the Holy Spirit to bring healing. Because we want to build healthy community. And the way that we build healthy community is often we have to be intentional with stepping into those awkward, discomfortable places. You know, sometimes some of our offenses and some of our traumas might be little petty disagreements. Other times it can be really deep-rooted traumas. Can be real abusive situations that we've had to go through. But the truth is the same for every situation. The truth is the same. Is that we have to give our hearts that the Holy Spirit brings healing. So Hebrews 4 verse 16, just with your eyes closed. He says, let us then therefore with confidence draw near to the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. There's grace when you need the Holy Spirit in a situation. There's grace. He says, let us approach the throne of God to obtain mercy and grace in our time of need. Then the next scripture that I want to read is Matthew 5 verse 9 says, blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called sons of God. Blessed are the peacemakers. It doesn't say the peacekeepers. It doesn't say those the peace avoiders, the peace makers. We have to be intentional stepping into those discomfortable, uncomfortable situations and make peace in situations where relationships have broken down. It's difficult. It's difficult. Amen. All right, so how do we deal with conflict? Any ideas? Let's start with Matthew 5. Let's go to Scripture. So if you're offering your gift at the altar and there, remember that your brother has something against you. Leave your gift, therefore, before the altar and go. First be reconciled to your brother, and then come and offer your gift. It's a difficult scripture. So for some reason, I misinterpreted that with the conflict that we were having in Zimbabwe, because we'd asked for forgiveness. We'd gone before. And I'm like, well, we've done our bit. They have to respond right now. We're so self-entitled sometimes. And then at one stage, I was like, so if you are offering your gift at the altar and there remember that your brother has something against you, they have to come before the altar and come make right with you. I was like, no, I've done my bit. And I was rebuked for that. I said, no, Donnie, go make right. So if you realize sometimes, and that's why it's difficult. You know, it's easy to stand here on a Sunday and we sing, oh, God, we love you, we worship you, we praise you. And then you go home and there's a situation that triggers you quickly. Or even worse, there's a situation that troubles you or that triggers you before you step in here. And then we come. Oh, Lord, work in Johnny's heart. Just reveal to him the error of his way. I pray for Johnny. Donnie, won't you pray with me for Johnny's heart? He says, leave your offer. Go make right with your brother. That's what Scripture says. I don't know if you interpret it any other way. There's only one way we can really interpret Scripture. So, then there's a more difficult portion of Scripture in Matthew 18, verse 15 to 17. It says then, if your brother sins against you, go. Tell him his fault between you and him alone. If he listens to you, you have gained a brother. So, verse 16 says, but if he does not listen, take one or two others along with you, that every charge may be established by the evidence of two or three witnesses. I want you to remember two or three witnesses. If he refuses to listen to them, tell it to the church. That's step three. So the first thing is go to your brother. Second thing, privately, between the two of you. If he doesn't want to listen, take two or three people. If he still doesn't want to listen, step three is take it to the church. And then step four, if he refuses to listen even to the church, let him be to you as a Gentile and a tax collector. That means that's when a process of discipline starts happening, when you put somebody out the life of the church. So how long is that process, do you think? Depends on how quickly they repent. And if they don't? Huh? We have to do everything we can to win a person over. That's what Matthew says in the beginning, verse 15. We have to do everything in our power to win somebody over. We have to plead with them. That's what pleading means. When Paul was writing, I plead with you. Settle your disagreement. Sometimes it can take a year, 2 years. If it starts damaging the life of the church, that's when a process will will start happening with discipline. But there's so much grace. Remember, the art of God is to restore, not to disqualify. We have to be slow in these matters, not quick. You know, sometimes our nature is, I've got a disagreement with Maria, I must settle it now. But there's emotions involved. Sometimes it doesn't just happen. It's not a flip that you switch and, oh, you're right, Maria. Okay, good, you must be fine. Now, Maria's not fine, and I'm like, yes, Maria, there's something wrong with you. We've walked through the process. You have to realize there's emotions at play. It doesn't just sometimes, by the grace of God, it can happen quickly. Other times, it's going to take longer for us to work through some disagreements and some difficult situations. Then verse 18 says, truly I say to you, whatever you bind on earth shall be bound in heaven, and whatever you loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven. Again I say to you, if two of you agree on earth about anything they ask, it will be done for them by my Father in heaven. If two or three agree, for where two or three are gathered in my name, there I am among them. Just go to verse 19 again. So in another, that it's interesting. In the Greek word for agree there comes from the word sympathy, as symphony. So it's saying when there's harmony between two of you, that's what that word agreement means. When there's harmony, when there's one purpose, one heart, one goal. When there's harmony between you. All right, so can I ask you just to put verse 15 up for me? All right, so I just want to go through that maybe just step for step as the process, because this is one of the key things that I want to keep you in, that I want you to keep in mind when we're going to step into conflict and when we're going to settle disagreements. So the interesting thing says, the first portion of the scripture, he says, if a brother or sister sins. So it's not an unbeliever. It's not somebody that's not part of the family. It's if a brother or a sister, somebody that's part of the household, part of the family of Christ. Even me, you've got a responsibility. If I offend you, if I sin against you, you have to come speak to me. I'm not above that. No one is. So, if a brother or sister, first of all, are you in agreement with that? It's difficult to disagree with Scripture, eh? If a brother or sister sins against who? You. Not sins against Murray and now I'm offended. Sorry, Murray, you're just in the line of sight. So I'm using Murray lots this morning. Not if somebody sins against Murray, I pick up a secondary offense. Somebody sins against Murray, so I'm going to be speaking on Murray's behalf. If somebody sins against me, if somebody sins against you as an individual. In other words, what does sin mean? Let's break that down. What does that mean? What do you think? Why would we have to make this practical, because now you're thinking, what does sin mean? Somebody sins against you. What does it mean? Miss the mark. Okay, so, but what does that mean? Like, I mean, it's nice. Okay, how do you miss the mark against me? That's a beautiful way. That's beautiful. Yeah, Murray?
I was going to say it's not just offense.
It's not just offense. It's not just offense. We've reduced it to offend. Somebody says something and I'm offended. But what does that mean? Any other ideas? Crossing a boundary. That's great. Good observation.
Guys are quiet. Sinless people. Anyway, all right, let me help you. Said, misses the mark, offends you, causes you to stumble, crosses a boundary, uses their tongue incorrectly against you, so gossip, slanders, harms you, mistreats you, abuses you. In essence, if anyone misrepresents Christ to a fellow believer, if you see anything in me where I'm misrepresenting Christ to you, you have to come to me and say, Donnie, I think you've missed the mark there. If I tell a joke that's slightly off this morning, you know, I can 90% of the people might laugh and we might think it's funny, but for one or two people, it might just sit not that well. And then you come say to me, hey, Donnie, I don't think that was right. Oh, you know, I was just joking. You can't say that. If I misrepresent Christ to you, if I make you stumble, if anyone makes you stumble in relationship, if anyone misrepresents Christ to you, what do you do? If a brother or sister sins against you, what does the scripture say there? Reva? Go. If a brother or sister sins against you, don't wait and let the Holy Spirit speak to them by divine revelation. It says, go. Tell him his fault. The onus is on you to go. The onus is on the person that has been sinned against to go. It's difficult, hey? It's so hard. Scripture is hard. That's why I think sometimes, you know, I said to Babette the other day, and I think I've said it here. Why do we have such a simple command that God gives us? Love the Lord your God above all else, and love your neighbor as you love yourself. Why do you think it's so simple? I said to Babette, because it's so hard to do. Imagine if we've got like this long list of hoops that we need to jump through. But if we're going to be in relationship with Christ, even the most simplest thing is so hard to do because it challenges the very nature in us. Go and tell them, just between the two of you, between you and him alone. Right, so it says, go and tell him. I said, yeah, go. What doesn't the scripture say? Go and tell everyone else. Go, gossip and slander. Go, label them as a hypocrite. Go, retaliate. Eye for an eye. You arm me, I arm you. Avoid them or the conversation. Yes, Eugene, it feels like you holding back. In relationship, what's wrong? Nothing. Husbands and wives, that's a nice one there. What's wrong? What's wrong, lovey? Nothing. Or is it just in our house? Doesn't say go, build up an offense that becomes a festering wound and a root of bitterness and pain. It doesn't say, don't forgive until they grovel. It doesn't say, don't go to church. It's easier to stay away from the problem than to face the problem. And then, it's beautiful what the scripture says. If he listens to you, you have gained a brother. Another translation says, if they listen to you, you have won them over.
So remember, this is somebody sinning against you, and you're stepping into that conflict zone, addressing that situation, because the purpose is to win them over. Purpose is to restore relationship. James 5 verse 20 in the New King James says it beautifully. He says, let him know that he who turns a sinner away, he who turns that guy that sinned against you away from error of his way, will save a soul from death and cover a multitude of sins. It's beautiful. Scripture is incredible. I said it all starts in the heart. It translates to the tongue and it affects relationships. Remember what we said, what the heart is full of? The mouth will overflow. Yeah. It's important that we sort out our hearts, first of all. Starting at home. All right. I had a little intercept. Just want to find out, what's your capacity like? Can I carry on? Because we can either call it here and carry on next week, or I can carry on. What's your capacity like? That's a good question. I'm not sinning yet, so I'm fine. It'll probably be another 20 minutes or so. This is just going into some of the practical stuff now. So we've looked more or less at what the Word of God says. I want to step into some practical stuff. Is that okay? Because I want to give you guys some handles. Like when you walk out here, you need to be able to say, Moira, you look beautiful today. But. There's no but. All right. So I want to give you some context on maybe how you can posture your heart before the conversation. Because now somebody has sinned against you. It's going to happen. We are in relationship with one another. We are in community. Some way, in some magical way, somebody is going to offend you. Somebody is going to misrepresent Christ to you. What do you do? What do you do? Because that scripture is nice in Matthew. It gives us context. But that still doesn't deal with our hearts sometimes. And sometimes our hearts is in turmoil. And how we convey even the message when we go have a conversation with our brother can either cause more damage, but it's important that we are always looking to restore and not bring more damage through our conversations. Okay. I want to say here, I put in a little disclaimer that this is relating to general cases, not situations where there has been deep, intentional abuse, manipulation, or targeted speech. What does targeted speech mean? So one of our friends in Zimbabwe started experiencing a healthy church and started, I sent him the This Is Church videos and he started going through. And they were in an unhealthy church structure. And he said to his leader, hey, don't you just want to look at this stuff? Maybe there's something of value there. As simple as that. That Sunday, the leader was preaching. And he said, you know, some of you have been sending me videos of what church should be. And I don't listen to YouTube. I hear directly from God. So I just want to say, if you want to question my authority, I don't need YouTube. You can ask God to speak to me. That's targeted speech. Because he is directly referring to the guy that sent him the videos. Even though there is sometimes a deep, intentional harm that has been, or sometimes not even intentional. Sometimes our trauma is so deep that we really need to come into a place of wholeness with the Holy Spirit first. Before we step into a conversation, I think always moving from that place. Be slow. Remember, we mustn't be quick resolving stuff. We need to allow the Holy Spirit to work. So, all right. So, just some points.
leading up to the conversation. If you are taking notes, I can send you all my notes if you can read my handwriting. Firstly, process privately. As we grow in the Lord and in maturity, we have to learn that the secret place is the most important place for our hearts. We have to work those things through with God first of all, and let Him reaffirm our identity and who we are in Him. I said, work it out with Him, find peace in Him, and settle it in your heart with Him. I said, this processing with Him, first of all, sometimes will take the sting out of a conversation, because you've come to your Father, and He's affirmed those things. You know, sometimes, that's why I say be slow, don't be quick, because sometimes if we reactionary, it brings more harm to a situation. Come before the Lord and start working it out with Him first of all. Say to the Lord, Lord, is it me that's maybe there's something that's wrong in me? Because sometimes just by somebody's action can offend something in you. So we want to be mature saints as well and grow into a place of maturity and say, Holy Spirit, just work in my heart first of all. Is there something in me that I've maybe misunderstood, that maybe has triggered something in me that wasn't intended? And work those things through with the Lord. James 4 verse 1 says, what causes quarrels and what causes fights among you? Is it not that your passions are at war within you? It's beautiful scripture. What's that saying? Sometimes if there's all those emotions that are in turmoil, and you jump in while those emotions are still in turmoil and at war in you, it'll cause troubles, it'll cause quarrels and fights among us. So settle your heart in the secret place. Just rest in Him. I'm not saying avoid the conversation. I'm not saying that. I'm saying just find peace in Him first of all, before you step in. Secondly, I said, don't wait until you feel moved by the Holy Spirit. Sometimes we are fine, but we are scared to step into that conversation. And then you say, hey, when are you going to speak to that guy? No, the Holy Spirit hasn't spoken to me yet. The Holy Spirit doesn't need to speak to you. He's already spoken to you through the Word. The Word is clear. Says, if anyone sins against you, go. Don't wait for divine inspiration. Go. I said, yeah, don't assume that they know. More often than not, the offender is not even aware of the problem or the situation that they've caused in your heart. So at one stage, there was a lady that was extremely upset with us, and she stopped coming to church for an extended period of time, and eventually just, what's wrong? No, nothing. We're not seeing you in the life of the church. Oh, I'm busy. And then eventually it came out, and she said, you didn't come visit me in hospital. I was taken up in hospital, and you never came to visit. I never knew she was taken up. She was offended with me, and I didn't even know that me not visiting her offended her. As a shepherd, she had an expectation that I must come visit her, but I never knew. So sometimes it's good to just say, hey, I'm in hospital, come pray for me. Sometimes, you know, the offense or this where we misrepresent God is very unintentional. It's not always, remember, it's in whatever way we misrepresent Christ. Did to a certain degree I misrepresent Christ that I didn't shepherd her well? Yes. I could have gone and visited her if I knew.
But we could talk through that situation in a healthy way. So don't assume. Most of the time it's unintentional. You know what you did. Don't say to somebody, you know, I was upset with you. What did I do? No, you know what you did. So don't assume that they know. Does that make sense? I know it's such simple advice, but us humans are funny. We're wired funny, and especially if we experience conflict, we get cross-wired in our brain sometimes. All right. Fourthly, I said some conversations are more difficult. So sometimes it's general, easy conversations. Some conversations are going to be a little bit more difficult. Because of the nature of the conversation. Sometimes also because of the nature of who the stumbling block has come through. It can be through a leader. It can be through somebody that is maybe older than you. And you know, when we were growing up, we were told, respect your elders. And you have to respect them. I'm not saying don't. The word of God is clear. Respect your parents. But sometimes we feel we can't speak to older people. Some of the most difficult situations that I've had to navigate in leading the church in Zimbabwe is speaking at situations in my dad's life. So I had major conflict within me. But the reality is I'm leading him. He's still a part of the church family. So, and then sometimes because of the nature of our relationship, maybe it's your wife, maybe it's a girlfriend, maybe it's family members. So sometimes, you know, if you're not closely involved in somebody's life, it's easier to address something where they've caused you a stumbling block. But sometimes those conversations are more difficult. I said it's not personal. More often than not, you are dealing with a general situation. You know, when we carry offense, sometimes one of the most often ways in which some of those things manifest in our lives is offense that we carry. And if you're sitting in a group like this and you're carrying a particular offense, and I say something in a particular way, you may feel, you see Donnie speaking just to me. Like he saw me and he's saying that because I'm here in the congregation. Or when I'm just looking like this and I say something and I look at Vipka and she's like, Murray, did you see the way Donnie looked at me when he said that? Has that only happened to me? Huh? Or haven't you guys been in church long? If you're going to be in church life and you've been in a situation, sometimes those are some of the things that happen in church life. Even in family, you see with the way they looked at me. Don't take it personal. Sometimes in this context, I'm just sharing the fact that I'm having a conversation about conflict is not because some of you are having conflict. I just want to say that. So I just want a disclaimer there as well. All right, I said don't process externally. This may result in gossip and slander, disguised as a prayer request. You know, Vipka, I just want to ask you that we pray for Yuan, you know, and we mask our offense through fake spirituality. Just want to ask that you stand in agreement with me. The Bible says where two or more or three are gathered, His presence will be there, and we really need Yuan's heart to change in this matter. And it's actually something in my heart that I'm dealing with, and I'm masking it under a spiritual guise. But actually, I'm gossiping and slander. Does that make sense? Have you guys ever experienced something like that? Or is it just me? I feel like the odd one out here. Like, in Jesus' name, we pray for Yuan. could also be that you're looking for people with similar issues and offenses. You know, sometimes we, if there's something that we are struggling with, we actually community people. God's created us for community, and we want to find out who's got similar offenses, who's got similar issues than me. So I'm saying, Eugene, what did you think of the service? Yeah, you know, Donnie went on too long. Yeah, I know, huh? Yeah, he's, yes, it's a real problem. Donnie, it's just like he doesn't have an off button. Like, how does he even talk that long? Like, does he know the food is getting cold? Like, so we're fishing for something in somebody's heart. Is that just me? It's because we want to actually, that sows division. That sows discord when we do that. That breaks unity in faith. What does the word say? Go to your brother privately. If you can't resolve it there, if Eugene comes to me and says, hey, Donnie, you know, I think you're really talking too long. I said to him, yeah, thanks, Eugene. Oh, God bless you. If there's no change in my way, there's way for him to actually navigate that situation. He can go to his community leader and to Anton and say, you know, Donnie, Anton, is it just me or is Donnie very long-winded? Like, all right. And don't, just another thing that I want to point out is sometimes a conversation may trigger many conversations. So our chances of resolving conflict, we set statistically, is we fail 80% of the time in resolving conflict the first time. So the stats are quite bad. So we have to be very intentional and realize that sometimes, obviously it's probably with bigger situations, not just normal small stuff that's in our heart. But in bigger situations, it's going to take, you've got a 20% succeeding, of a chance of succeeding the first time. Who's experienced that in relationship, in marriage? For some reason, like, we step into a conflict zone, and then it turns out worse than it was before. Like, it's just, you have to stick to it. You have to have many conversations. We're dealing with people. We're dealing with emotions. We have to work through that stuff. So that's why I said, first of all, take it to God. All right. That was leading up to the conversation. Now we're getting to the conversation. What are some practical stuff and some practical guidelines? I've broken it down into three things: the talker, the listener, and the third party. Right, so to the talker, somebody has sinned against me. The Word of God says I need to go. I said be topical. Don't make it personal. Address the sin, not the person's character. So don't go break them down and say, you know, I really think you've got a character flaw there. I've got this thing in you that's, if there's really a concern, speak to your community leader about somebody's character and they can address it. Be topical. Isaiah 64. You know, sometimes when you have conversations, we have to remember that the purpose of having conversation is to win them over, not to win the conversation. Sometimes we feel, yes, I've won. So one of the best advice I got before I married Babette was a friend spoke to me and he said, Donnie, in any conflict, if you've lost Babette's heart, you've lost the conversation. So the idea is to win somebody over, not about being right. Isaiah 64 verse 6 says, we have all become like one who is unclean, and our righteous deeds are like polluted, are like a polluted garment. Another translation says, our righteousness is as filthy rags. What does our righteousness mean? It means I want to be right. It means I want to be correct in the situation. So you wanting to win the conversation, the Bible says it's as filthy rags. It's not about winning the conversation. It's about restoring relationship. Said use empathy. This is elementary stuff, basic stuff. But I want to encourage you. Don't be accusational in your conversation. Just say, hey, Eugene, you know, when you did this, I felt this inside me. Like, because half the time it's our feelings that it's our emotions that we're dealing with. So be wise with how you communicate something as well. Don't accuse a person. Just say, hey, when you did this, I felt that you misrepresented Christ to me. Christ's nature is that he says, let no unwholesome talk come out of your mouth. And I felt that joke that you told was inappropriate. Simple like that. I said, don't dominate, demonstrate. Demonstrate the nature and character of Christ. Sometimes we want to come in high. We want to come in and from a position of strength. Matthew 18, verse 3 to 4 is interesting. So it's part of that Matthew 18, that whole discourse of scripture there. Says, and he said, I tell you the truth, unless you change and become like little children, you will never enter the kingdom of heaven. Therefore, whoever humbles himself like this child is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven. So it's interesting. He is talking about who's the greatest in the kingdom. Then he talks about causing anyone to stumble. And then he goes into dealing with conflict in Matthew 18. That's part of the same chapter. So if he says, if anyone humbles himself like a little child, a child always believes the best. Always believes the best. Like a child is so faithful. He'll carry on loving you and believe the best of you, and you can really fail as a human being, like as a parent. But they always believe the best somehow. So we need to humble ourselves and remember that we have to win people's hearts. We have to be like little children in the kingdom. He who exalts himself, what does the scripture say? Will be humbled. He who humbles himself will be exalted. Then the interesting, I said with gentleness and humility. Galatians 6, verse 1 says, dear brothers and sisters, if another Christian is overcome by some sin, you who are godly should gently and humbly help that person back onto the right path. And be careful not to fall into the same temptation yourself. I said, so overcome by sin, if anyone sins against you, if anyone misrepresents Christ in any way, they've sinned. We are holding each other accountable. So be gentle and humble in restoring that person. That makes sense. So, be topical, use empathy, and don't dominate, demonstrate. So that was to the talker. To the one that's receiving input, that's sometimes more difficult. Who likes being told that your breath smells? Or anything, any conflict. It's not nice. It's horrible. Yes, I don't like it. Sedia, first of all, listen, ! If you're taking notes. Don't interrupt. Remember what the heart is. Somebody is trying to restore relationship. Somebody is taking offense. Somebody is being troubled by something that you did. They are stepping into that conflict zone. Listen to their heart. Listen to what they have to say. Second, don't defend yourself or be dismissive. Keep your heart open. No, it's not like that. Donnie, you talk too long. No, it's not like that. It's impossible. your attention span is too short. Like, don't react. Whenever we are confronted in any situation, our nature is to strike back. Don't do that. Just listen. Don't defend yourself. To the receiver, don't make excuses or minimize the hurt or offense that you may have caused. Say, you're just being petty. But it's okay. I'm glad that you're stepping into this conversation so that your heart can be whole, but I think you're just being petty. Don't minimize the offense or hurt. Is this helping? Huh? Thanks, George. Make me feel good. Don't you want to come sit here? All right, so we're nearly done. I said don't react in the moment. Invite further conversations. Just say, hey, I hear what you're saying, Eugene. I'm sorry that I've misrepresented Christ to you. I want to invite you. I want to open the door. Like, if you see that occurring again in my life, just have freedom to come speak to me again. Don't make it a big thing. Invite conversation. Remember, who doesn't want to grow? If we've all got blind spots. And sometimes as believers, we have to cover one another's nakedness. We have to cover one another's blind spots. And speaking to one another in love helps us to cover our blind spots. So invite people and say, hey, if you see that in me, just come speak to me again. Don't worry. Like, I'm fine with what you have to say, but come speak to me again. Then I said, go to the secret place. And go find God in the heart of the Father. If he says something about your character and say, hey, you've told a coarse joke or you've been unwholesome talk, go to the Father and bring your heart before him. Say, Father, is this something that's manifesting in my life more often than not? And ask the Holy Spirit to show you. Ask the Holy Spirit to reveal that to you. He is a gentleman. If you ask, he will do it. Scripture says, if anyone lacks wisdom, let him ask. If we need wisdom from the Holy Spirit, and we need to see, is this a pattern in my life? The Holy Spirit will reveal it to you. And then go to your leaders. Don't go to Matthijs or anyone else. Say, yes, Eugene came and told me this. And now I'm trying to put Eugene in a bad light because he's spoken to me. He's actually manned up and said something. Now I want to paint him in a bad picture. Go to your leaders, your community leader. Say, hey, you know, there was a situation that I went through this week where a brother came and spoke to me and they called out some things in my life. I just want to invite you. Ask for input. Ask for people to look into your life. Make yourself accountable. Ask for people to speak into your life. Ask, come to me and say, hey, Donnie, this situation has occurred and two people have spoken this to me. Like, can we sit and talk? Can you look out? If you see these things manifest in my life, can you help me? Can you step into those things? All right. And then, so go to the secret place. And lastly, I said, seek accountability and input. Be transparent with people who are watching over you. That's our job. That's the community group leader's job, is to watch over you. As elders, that's what shepherds do. They look after the well-being of the flock. So invite them into that conversation and ask for input. And then just to finish off, I said to the third party. So it's nice that we have found out how to respond and how to listen. But who's been part of a situation where somebody has come and said, hey, Wiebke, just want to ask you about Yuan. Who's been in a situation like that where somebody's come to you with an issue and they haven't followed the Matthew 15 or the Matthew 18 discourse? Have any of you experienced that, where somebody's come to gossip about somebody else? I'm sure you have. I'm sure you have. So what do we do if somebody comes to us and gossips? What do you do if somebody comes and discusses something that you shouldn't be hearing? That's why I said the third party. Because we need wisdom how to respond in those situations. Because remember, offense breaks down relationship. And sometimes if I paint anyone in a bad... If I had said to you last week, if the week before, you know, we've got a guy, Lovemore, that's coming, but I think he was a bit proud, like he invited himself to come. I don't know about him, like he says he's in Kalicha, but I don't know. And I paint Lovemore in a bad light. When he stands up here, you've already closed your heart. When you meet him, you've already closed your heart without even meeting him for the first time. Because I've painted him in a bad light with you. So anything we say that can change the opinion of somebody else about somebody, we have to have wisdom with. Because how we deal with those situations, those things break down unity, relationship, and community. We have to deal with those things very hard. So I said, often we get caught up in the middle of something. Before we know it, we get sucked into a conflict. Puts us in a difficult conversation because now we have to choose sides. Or we keep quiet and my opinion about somebody changes. Or I pick up an offense with that person and they've never done anything against me. But now I've got an offense against that person as well. So what do you do? One. Encourage a biblical response. I want to empower you to say to that person, hey, I don't think you should be talking to me. Have you read Matthew 18, 15 to 17? No. Okay, well, let's go on the Bible app. If anyone, what does the scripture say? If your brother sins against you, brother or sister sins against you, go. I don't think you should be discussing that with me. I think you should be going to your brother. Go sort that out with him. I'm not giving my ear to you. You have to draw the line. You have to put a boundary in. We think we're fine. We think, no, it's fine. My heart won't be influenced. We are such fickle people. Once something, you know that scripture that says a little leaven? What does it say? Ruins the whole lump. That little leaven that's found root in your heart when somebody's gossiped about somebody else in you, if that's not dealt with, will grow. And before long, you will pick up an offense as well. It can sit there for years. It can sit there for a long time. Songs of Solomon also says it's the foxes that ruined the vineyard. The foxes were small and they'd run through the vineyards and damage all the grapes. It's the little things that we need to look out for. You have to draw a line with people. I said encourage a biblical response. Secondly, I said speak up. Guide them. Guide them to a healthy response. Remember, we are there to encourage one another in love and to build. I say, hey, what you're doing now, I think, has got the potential to break down relationship. I want to encourage you to have a biblical response. I want to encourage you to go to that person. Speak up. Call it out there and then. Don't be quiet with the situation and tolerate more sin. Said, or that you can say, hey, I don't think it's healthy that you're having this discussion with me. Or we can talk. Now, somebody's got a default. Somebody hasn't helped somebody on the right path yet. And that person is going around. And every time they come sit with you, You say, how are you doing? And then before 5 minutes is over, the conversation has turned and you're talking about a specific situation. Are you familiar with those situations? You can say, hey, it'll be lacquer to hang with you. I want to spend time with you on condition that we just don't step into this conversation. If you haven't resolved this yet, like, I don't want to hear what's going on. Like, I don't want to get sucked into that thing. So we can spend time, but can we set boundaries on the conversation? And that's what the third thing is, set limits. Don't give your ear to gossip and slander. Tell them to sort it out. And another healthy thing that we can do is, hey, if you don't go sort it out, like, I'm going to help you. We're going to go together to Murray and say, hey, Murray, Ruth has got a problem with you. All right, you guys can talk. I'm going. We have to help one another to respond in a biblical way. That's what we're there to do as brothers and sisters in Christ. We want to see community flourish. We want to see relationships grow. We want to see healthy biblical responses. So there's a lot more. The topic is very broad. I mean, we can spend a day talking about offense and how to deal with offense, but it all starts with the heart. It all starts there. And it all starts that I really trust that the Holy Spirit will help you in situations. It's okay if you phone me and if everyone phones me this week. Babette and I are away for the next 2 days, so my phone's going to be off. So if I don't respond to a message, it's not because I'm avoiding you. We're just going away. So please don't bother us. Bother your community leaders. But on Wednesday, you can come see me. But I really trust that the Holy Spirit is working in your hearts this morning, and that maybe there's some practical tools and practical ways in which we can resolve some conflicts. And I think being a small community, we have to guard those things. We have to guard certain truths. Because if the enemy can come in, he can destroy something beautiful even before it's even just taking baby steps. We're still a young congregation. And the enemy constantly wants to come against and destroy unity, destroy community. And we have to guard against those things. And one of the ways is that we need to respond in a healthy way to one another. So I really trust that the Holy Spirit is working in your hearts and just highlighting some stuff. So if you have to process some more, I had a song that that I wanted to put up, but we're not going to go there this morning. I think that's enough for now. But I want to encourage you, go to the Holy Spirit and go ask Him. You know, while I was speaking, maybe there's one or two things that have been highlighted in your heart, and just go to the secret place and go speak to the Holy Spirit. If there's some stuff that have been dragging on. So, just to end with this story. How long is too long? And I'll respond by another question. Is your heart free? I had a situation where I was in Bible college, and we had a reunion 2 or 3 years later, and one of my friends, even from Bible college days, was very negative. And one of our friends was a dreamer, and we were three good friends, and he'd be off on tangents the whole time dreaming about stuff. And while we were at the reunion, like, this guy just was hammering him. Then he said, yes, I was thinking about that. And he just shoot him down in conversation and shoot him down the whole time. And I said to him, hey, you're always doing this, just shut up for a while. And I picked up an offense in my heart. And what happened was, I stopped contacting him over some time and removed my heart because I'd picked up an offense that he, in the way he was treating others. And 10 years later, I sat and I was going through Facebook and I saw his face and I thought, now's a good time to unfriend. And just before I unfriended, the Holy Spirit says, you've got unresolved issues in your heart against him. The reason why you've want to unfriend is because you're carrying offense against him. Go make right. And I phoned him and I said to him, hey, I've been carrying out an offense against you over something that you did when we were at the reunion, and he didn't even know. That's the bad part. It's like he didn't even know. My heart was kept in bondage for 10 years because of an offense I picked up. He'd moved on. He's like carrying on. His life is going on. But my heart was in bondage. And my heart wasn't doing well. And I said to him, I want to forgive you. And I want to ask for forgiveness that I've kept this against you for such a long time and that I've removed my heart from this relationship. And thankfully, God was gracious enough for us to be able to restore the relationship. And we had a lack of coffee the other day for the first time in many years. So it's been about 15 years. I just want to say it's done. But sometimes things in our heart can keep us bondage for a long time. So bring your hearts before the Holy Spirit. And if there's stuff and situations that you have to deal with that's keeping your heart bondage, be brave and step in there. So let's just close in prayer. So Holy Spirit, I pray that as we go, that you'll just come and minister to our hearts and that you'll come and highlight situations where we may be carrying offenses in our heart, where we may be carrying hurts and trauma in our hearts because of past offenses and because of sin against us, where somebody in our life misrepresented you to us and we didn't see your heart manifesting in somebody's heart, in life. I want to pray that even in this time that you'll just come and highlight those things in our heart and that you'll give us the courage to step into those conflict zones and start dealing with that and bring us into a place of wholeness so that our relationship with you can be restored again as well. Father, the difficult thing is Scripture says is that if we don't forgive, He can't forgive us. So, Father, I pray that you'll give us courage to forgive and to restore relationship and to reflect your nature and character well to the world around us. We pray this in your holy name. Amen. Amen. I just want to say, I don't generally talk that long. This is longer. The past two times have been longer because it's been more weighty stuff, like talking about the tongue has been a little bit more weighty, and talking about this morning is a little bit more weighty. And I don't want to rush through. So thank you for your patience. Thank you for your grace that you may have extended or may not have extended. I've taken it anyway. But go have some coffee and get over it.